Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to World of Ink Network. I am today's host, Candy O'Donnell, and I have a few authors that I will be speaking with today. One said she will be late, and I believe the other one just popped up. Right now we have Jennifer Regoza. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Well, welcome, welcome. Who is area code 864?
That's Elizabeth Eldering.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Elizabeth Eldering. I just wanted to let you two know that this is a fantastic network. There are so many different hosts on here, and everybody writes in many different genres. So, but I'm just so happy to be on this network. I had my own for many years, and I took a hiatus, and I am back. So I wanted to have each of you ladies introduce yourselves and your books. Jennifer, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, I have a dark fantasy series out called The Guardians, and that's it. That's a really good hot vampire read, so if you like those, there's three in that series. And I also have a poetry book that I dropped this year that it was all poetry that I wrote when I was in my teen years, 16, 17. And I'm currently working on a dramatic romance right now that will be out sometime this year.
Ah, wonderful. I know The Guardians, and I love the covers to those. They're just absolutely fabulous. And so you're going to be dropping a new one, huh? What year should we be expecting this?
This year. And this one's really fun because it's the first time that I'm writing a book from a male point of view. So it's been a little bit... It's been a little bit harder to write than it would from a female, but I like the challenge.
I've done that. I wrote a romance from a male point of view, and I don't know. To me, it's so much easier to do that than the female point of view.
Really?
My book, Psychic. Yeah, my book, Psychic Perception. It was from a female point of view, but I looked at it from my own. You know, me looking out,
right.
So it wasn't so difficult. I can't wait to see that one. Elizabeth,
yeah,
tell us a little bit. Oh, go ahead, Jennifer.
No, I was just going to say, is for me, it was easier to write from a female's point of view because sometimes I find that, like, I might be making him a little bit too sensitive, so then I have to pull back and make him a little more aggressive. But that's interesting that for you it was easier to write from a guy's point of view.
Yeah, well, that was the problem that I had from at least one reviewer. He's just too much of a wuss for me. And I'm thinking, really? So you like, you know, the caveman type of...
I think a lot of people love that. Yeah, a lot of people like the alpha male type. So it's more popular among the readers.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be. I just like to go off in a whole different arena when it comes to, you know, writing from a male point of view. I don't know if I'll be writing anything else in a male point of view. We'll see. You never know what the heck will crop up. Elizabeth, you have been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much. I wanted to let everybody know that I did read your book, Zombies Amok. I loved it. I thought it was great. So go ahead, introduce yourself and your books.
Well, I write children's and young adult mysteries and short stories pretty much. All of my short stories, well, no, not all of them, most of my short stories have placed in a contest of some sort.
Yay.
And I'm working on the second and third in the Kelly Watson series, which is Finally Home is the first one. Did not intend to do a series, but everybody's been like, just write a series, make it a series. And I'm like, no, I don't know. But I've got the second one almost finished, so.
that's great. Now, you have quite a few books here, like Train of Clues, The Proposal, Tulip Kiss. That's a cute name. Butterfly Have.
Those are all short stories that have, like I said, placed in various contests that I entered. Train of Clues was my very first story that I ever wrote and I ever entered in the contest. And it's kind of the predecessor to my children's geography mystery series, but I've had to put that series on hold right now, so I just can't afford my illustrator. So hopefully I'm either going to revamp it or I'm going to find a cheaper illustrator.
Yeah.
Illustrators are so expensive.
Yes,
so
they
that
are.
One's on hold.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's been a few years back, but I wanted a fellow friend, well, an older friend. We're no longer friends anymore, consequently. This could be one of the reasons why, but she was so supposed to illustrate one of my books. She goes, oh, yeah, I'll do it. You know, 2 years later, I'm like, really? I mean, she'd already illustrated like 10 books.
Like, really? You said you would do this, and you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just, it when you're doing 50 books and the children's mysteries, each book is one state, so the state is the mystery. I don't tell them the state until the end of the story. And
mm-hmm.
so when you've got 50 books that need illustrated, it does get rather expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's and my friend was going to do it, you know, for free at the time, but I remember checking into it, and I could not breathe after hearing the price tag. It's
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. Yeah, it's just so that's one of the reasons why I got out of, you know, writing children's books, even though I love, you know, now I write more adult, young adult books. But I feel so bad because I have not introduced the two of you together. So Jennifer, this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, this is Jennifer.
Hi.
And Jennifer is, she's in, Jennifer and I are in Crushing Hearts and Black Butterfly Publishing. It's a wonderful publishing company. I absolutely love them. And when I met Jennifer, I'm like, oh. I mean, she is an incredible person. She tells it like it is. That's what I love about her.
it's always good to have people like that in your life.
But I'm
well,
nice about it. I'm really nice about it.
You're nice about it.
I'm usually pretty straightforward, but I do take people's feelings and, you know, into consideration. So I'm honest, but I do it with tact.
Yeah. Well, she does.
I mean,
she does.
That's what we need. Your type of person makes the best critique partner as far as critiquing stories and, you know, getting them to the publishable point. But, Candy, I did read your Psychic Perception.
Oh, you did? Oh boy.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm nervous.
I read a review on Amazon for you.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed
so
it, but I thought it needed to be longer. I was it's not long enough.
FYI, there will be 4 books in that series.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, so the second one is titled Psychic Chaos, and it comes out in December.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think I had one or two other people because it's a re-release, because it was with a different publisher, now it's with Crushing Heart, and somebody actually kind of, you know, berated me on that. Why couldn't you make it longer? And I'm like, because it's part of a series. Yeah, but you still got... And I'm like, well, I want to leave you hanging.
Well, it's just like, for me, some books need to be longer, and some books, where they end, that's like it that they need to end.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just
me.
I didn't give you a harsh review. I just said it needed to be longer. And so.
That's the best review ever, though. You know what I mean? Like, if that's your only complaint, that's like the best review. Like, I wish there was more of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I want more, so so I'm glad there's more coming out.
Yeah, there will be definitely more coming out, and they're going to get. I don't even have the word for it. I don't know if you read it, Jennifer, but I would love for you to read it if you would like. Because it is about, you know, a woman that is, you know, trying to help people using her psychic abilities. But the second one is going to actually go deeper and into the harsh realities, you know, of what people, you know, do when, because they're called psychic detectives. I don't know if you guys ever heard anything about that, but that's what people do when they look at different, you know, missing persons that are deceased, then they kind of follow along with, you know, what happened, kind of what I did in that book too, but it's going to go, I cannot describe it. You're just going to have to read it.
That's what I'm struggling with, because my characters in Finally Home, they have psychic abilities, but when the story starts, one character doesn't really know she has psychic abilities. Kelly, mm-hmm. my main character, doesn't know she has psychic abilities. And Emma, the next-door neighbor, she doesn't think she has psychic abilities. And they actually come out at the end of the second story. So.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Yeah. But remember, my characters are only 13 and 14, or 14 and 15. I don't know how old they are right now. But I'm struggling because I'm trying to, like, make it believable and make it, you know. But hopefully I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that. And then you have the, you know, the finicky reviewers and readers that are like, oh, this is so unbelievable. It's like, how can you say it's unbelievable when you haven't walked a mile in certain writer's shoes?
Right.
So.
Yeah, but that's, you know what I mean? That's what fiction is. It's, you can take it to any place you want to take it. It doesn't have to be necessarily 100% believable. You know, a lot of times when you're writing fiction, you are writing a fantasy for somebody. I mean, if we wanted to understand, like, if we wanted in real life, we would just live. Like, we wouldn't be picking up books or watching movies. Like, we kind of want to dive into fantasy sometimes. So it doesn't have to be right on, spot on. It just has to be, you know, somewhat believable with a little fun and fantasy and fiction for them. But you're not going to please everybody. That's just how it is. You know, some people are going to love it. Some people will hate it. Some people will say this is too long. Some people will say this is too short. So, but, like, you know, everybody has an audience.
You know, and that's why there are so many different authors and writers out there.
Yep.
Definitely.
And
okay.
Why there's so many different genres.
Exactly. Okay, what do you two ladies do when you are not writing?
Well,
thinking about writing?
I'll go first. Oh my God. You know, I also PA for a total of three girls. So if I'm not writing, I'm marketing for them. And then if I'm not marketing for them, I'm marketing for my husband's side business. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm usually trying to have a little downtime, which may consist of me just going out with the kids and doing something or having. I barely watch TV, so I might catch like half an hour or like an hour of TV or something. But I don't have a lot of downtime, but when I do, I like to just go outside, maybe go for a walk or something like that.
Wow. That's nice. Now, Elizabeth?
I work full-time as a medical transcriptionist, and I work at home. So, and I crochet. I make bookworms that I sell at my book events, and they're really great. They're cute. They're cheap. Everybody loves them. And my kids are grown, so I don't have a lot of contact with them right now. They're all out of the house. So writing and crocheting and working.
Oh, I love crocheting. I have to tell you.
Facebook is going to kill me because I keep like, no, I just need to play one more game.
Oh, that's funny. How many genres have each of you written in thus far?
Well, let's see. I've did dark fantasy. I've dabbled in erotica. I guess fractured fairy tales is kind of on the dark end. I don't even know what that genre is. I guess that's fantasy. And now I'm dabbling in romance. So I guess four. I'd like to do, like, challenge myself and do horror one day, but we'll see.
Well, if you ever need to pick someone's brain, you can pick mine, because that's what I started off with.
Horror?
In publishing, yeah.
I
published a lot of horror. Matter of fact, I have a horror short story coming out in an anthology in May, and it's called Under the Bed.
Okay.
So I'll let your brains kind of think about that one.
I like thrillers.
Is that the anthology? That's the anthology name or the story name?
That's my story name. Yeah, they're still tossing around what the anthology will be titled. So how about you, Elizabeth?
Okay, let's see. My children's mysteries, young adult mysteries. I guess that goes together, huh? Children and young adults. My paranormal romance, or they're sweet romances. I did dabble. My first writing actually was erotica. I wouldn't admit that to my mother, but thankfully she's not
what
listening. No, but I mean, that was the first thing I ever wrote. And that was on the challenge. And then I guess that's it. Because all my short stories, except Zombies of Muck and Butterfly Halves, are romance of some sort, paranormal or humorous romance. So I don't write vampires, so sorry.
You never know. You never know.
Right.
I don't even read vampire stories.
I said I would never write erotica, and I did one in an anthology. So you just never know when you get later on. Like I said, I might write horror later, even though it's something where I'm like, oh, no, that's not something that I want to do. But later it might be like an option, like a challenge.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working on
true, I believe.
I'm working on a suspense also, so... Still in the mystery genre, but, you know, a little bit more suspense, thriller type thing. It's not really a whodunit or anything. It's just a more psychological thriller. So I'm working on that.
Okay, great. Oh, wonderful. We have, I believe this is Dakota. She is the third author. Dakota?
It's Jeff. I'll try to make that attempt, but I don't think I can make that leap. I'm actually one of your co-hosts here on the World of Ink Network. I'm RJ Jeffries, or Jeff, you can call me.
Oh,
coming in late.
Hey, RJ, how you doing?
I'm good, Candy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, RJ, he writes incredible stuff. How have you been? I haven't spoken to you in, what, over a year?
Yeah. Thank you for that compliment. Yeah, I do have the audacity of trying to make stuff up with words and expect people not only to read it, but buy it in books, huh?
Yeah.
But thank you for that. I've been well.
My
show's been on hiatus for about 6 months, and Masha, our principal at World of Ink Network, has been infinitely patient with me. So looks like I'm coming back on board the next month and put some shows back on. I miss it. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Good.
Love the interaction with other authors and poets and people in the arts and entertainment. It's a blast. And I really enjoy your shows, and I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, my gosh. I am blushing. Thank you so much. Well, today, I don't know if you've heard, I have author Jennifer Rigoza and Elizabeth Eldering. So they are two fantastic authors. Yeah, I want everybody to meet RJ.
I hope that my question won't be redundant, and if you've not already asked this, again, coming in late in the conversation, I'm always fascinated by another writer's process. If they would take me into a day of writing, say if I was sitting beside them, what would they do? Do they outline? Do they sort of have the end before they begin? You know, it's just, it's fascinating to me, again, how what each person's process is. A lot of people have similarities, but other people sort of, you know, I used to first begin writing, and I'd have had Post-its all over my monitor. And when it got to be so many I couldn't see the screen, I'd figure it's time to write it down.
Well, you know what? You know what I did with my first series when I didn't know what I was doing is I didn't write anything down. I just kind of had an image in my head of what the characters would look like. I kind of knew where the story was going to start. But people call me, like, you know, like a fly-by-the-pants type. I just write as I go. I kind of let the characters tell the story. You know, I might think I know how it's going to end, but then it ends totally different. Now that I'm a little more seasoned as an author, before I start a story, I'll write stuff down so that way I don't have to go back in the story and find out what color their eyes were, because I made that mistake before. I'm like, wait, their eyes were brown and now later they're green. So it's just little things, you know what I mean? Things where you don't have to go back and try to remember these small details. And
which, of course, the reader will pick up automatically and we'll look at it five times again. You're right, it'll get by us. Exactly.
Yep, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll do little notes, but I still don't do a whole outline of, like, each and everything that's going to happen. I like to be surprised. I'm like, wow, I didn't see that person dying, you know? So that's how I keep it fun for me. But, you know, I have friends that are authors that write the entire story out from beginning to finish. And I was like, wow, I can never do that.
Do you work with an editor? Do you have someone that, or like a critique group or someone, or a little writer's group, people that sort of look over your work while you're working on it? I find that that's really important as well. I'm very blessed to have an astounding editor. Also, my best friend, we do it for each other. In other words, she just finished a book of poetry, Melissa Studdard. I ate the Cosmos for breakfast. I got to put a big plug in for that. University she teaches that. She just won the writing award for that book. So I think it's an amazing process. It keeps me inspired, keeps the juices flowing for myself, and keeps things fresh. Looking at her work gives me a different perspective on my own. So it's really good to have a second set of eyes that you trust, someone who's a very effective writer as well, to just look at those little things. They catch them. You look at that page 100 times, and they'll pick it up in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, yeah. When I first did my very first book, I don't know, like, what the hell I was doing. I literally didn't know where to find an editor, where to find a good one that wasn't too expensive. I asked, stupidly, a friend. I was like, hey, you're in advertising, right? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, well, do you know anybody that does, like, you know, editing, you know, does it very good? And he was like, I do. So I sent it to him, and he kind of did, like, a half-assed job. And I threw it up on Amazon. I was self-published at the time. Threw it up there, and it was a mess. Like, people were like, this story is amazing, but the editing is horrible. And, you know, after, like, about six of those reviews, I pulled it down, and I ended up meeting a man named Edward Wolf, who I think he saw me ranting one time. I was like, I can't believe this. I feel so bad. And he was like, well, let me take a look at it. He's like, I'm a really good editor. This is what I do for a side living. And he did it for free for me. Like, he was the nicest person I'd ever met, and I know him to this day. I still send my work to him so he can beta read it. And he tells me, I can't beta read this without editing it. So he's always in my list. Like, I always send my books to him, and I can trust him.
Yeah, I know it's right. Obviously you understand the importance of it. Yeah, exactly. It's essential, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, after my books did the same thing, I was in the same boat. And I went back to, matter of fact, the gal that edited Psychic Perception for the first publishing company, she's been doing all my books since.
And your process, when you sit down, do you outline, do you have the beginning before the end or the end before the beginning? What's your process? Take me through a day with you in your writing day.
My day is, I usually get titles first, and this is the weirdest thing, RJ. It's always when I'm in the shower. Don't ask me why. I get a title, and then...
Funny, people ask me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's something important that I think we'll all sort of relate to. People always ask us, well, you know, when do you write? And, you know, they ask sort of in general terms, you know, how do you do it and how do you make this stuff up? But I truly believe we are always writing. We write in our sleep. Yes. I know a lot of my best stories, even my poems come from my dreams. One of my icons, Ray Bradbury, said that so many times that, you know, he would wake up with something if he didn't get right to the typewriter and write it right down in his old, he used that manual typewriter his whole life till he was in his 90s and left us, that you just got to get it down, whatever's in your head. And I know it seems to always come at the most opportune time. The shower seems to be something maybe with the water, the ablution of it, I don't know. But yeah, same for me as well, but please continue.
Yeah, and I've gotten things in my dreams as well, but when I write one chapter at a time, and I've become very methodical with my writing. It's like I'll write a sentence, stop, think about it, but when the flow's going, I write, and then I have to go back over it, because half the time, I feel like I almost have like an out-of-body experience, because I don't really know what I wrote. So I go back and look at it and say, okay, well, hey, at least I didn't put anything about dinosaurs in this particular book. It's not about dinosaurs.
Well, that kind of
linear. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I've done that. Going back and then do the line edits after that. Yeah, that's it. I think you said the operative word, the flow. You don't want to interrupt the flow. Just free associate and just let your mind just go and just sort of just transcribe your thoughts, and they may seem random, but when you look at it and you do it in a linear fashion that way, you look back and go, yeah, I've got something tangible, I got some good down there, and I go ahead and put some finesse on it.
Exactly. Elizabeth, how does your writing
of
work
late,
like that?
It doesn't work. My writing hasn't worked in a couple of years. No, but when I wrote Finally Home, originally I had written it as a kind of, it was an adult character, so my character was actually like in her 30s, early 30s, and it was like a secret, a past life kind of secret passages and secret messages and all this, and I came up with this extravagant code messaging and, you know, where she had to figure out why this house was important and all this, and I sent it to two of my friends who are both writers, and they both were like, this isn't working, you just need to write it as a young adult story. So I rewrote it actually for NANU, National Novel Writing Month, in 2008. And so basically I wrote it in 30 days. I wrote 56,000 words in 30 days.
Wow.
And when I finished writing it, I sent it to my friend, and she said that my first draft was like a second or third draft. She's really good, because she'd worked as an editor for one of the big publishing companies in New York, and so she's like, your work is really good. For a first draft, this is almost like you've already edited it several times, and I hadn't done any editing.
So you really knew
what
you had the story, and you need to say it. That's wonderful, and that's, you can't ask for better feedback than that.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, it's very polished, and, you know, you seem to, like, write. Your first draft is like a third or fourth draft writing, you know, just the way it flows and everything. The second story, I actually brainstormed with a friend of mine on the story, and so I kind of outlined that one, and I got stuck because I outlined it and it wasn't flowing. The story's not flowing. So then I came up with the ending, and I was at our Sisters in Crime meeting, and I was like, "Well, I think I have the ending," and everybody's just write the ending. Don't worry about, you know. So I've got the beginning. I've got the ending, and now I need to segue about 5,000 words in the middle to go from the beginning to the end so that it flows like it's supposed to. So outlining doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me either.
Allowing me to call in and ask a question to the guest. It's a wonderful interview. And I'd like to depart by asking you and your guest this question that's asked by another really good friend and a consummate interview and an incredible writer, Bill Knauer. You may know him through our network here on Facebook and our social networks. He asked this question of his guest. It's his final question for each of his interviews, and actually call in once a week on Tuesday at 5:20 p.m. and ask my respective question. The question is this: if writing has taught me anything, what has it taught me?
Jennifer, you want to tackle that first?
I guess, you know, it's really taught me who I am and what I can do. I really found out a lot of stuff about myself through writing, because with building characters, I'm sure as a lot of you do, you put yourself into your characters. I know I do. You know, even the bad ones have a little bit of me in them. So, you know, just putting myself into these characters, I kind of start to find out, you know, things that I didn't really think of before. I'm like, wow, that's how I feel about that. So that would be my answer.
That's a wonderful reply. That's a wonderful answer.
Yeah, Elizabeth, you go next.
I think that for me, because when I first started out, I had never written anything before, like not even thought about writing as a career. And I had started going to a local critique group, and I think what writing has really taught me is how to be a stronger person as far as accepting criticism and not, you know, I mean, the first critique that I had of my story of Train of Clues, actually, and that's the second place winning stories, the first critique I ever had, like, they raked the story over the coals. I came home, I cried, and I was like, and I told my friend, that the friend that said that my writing was so good on Finally Home, I came home online, and I'm like, oh, they hated my story, they didn't like me. And she's like, Elizabeth, shut up, just put the story aside and read it in a couple of days, and you'll see it, and think about what they said, and think about what they're right. And I'm like, no, they didn't like my story. Well, she's like, stop that crying and shut up. And so it just, you know, it really, like, I did. I put the story aside, and a couple days later I pulled out all the handwritten notes that they had marked on the papers, and then thought about what they had said in the, you know, and it wasn't as bad as I had made it out to be. So it really, I think it's taught me to not be so sensitive to criticism. And, you know, like Jennifer said earlier, you can't please everybody. There's going to be people that don't like my writing at all, period. So,
another excellent answer. We all have to suffer the slings and arrows, because we really do. We don't just expose our skin. We expose, in my opinion, our marrow.
Yep.
And every word we write and put in print. For the world to, critique, yes, which they do, and to sometimes judge, and once in a while, they'll give us a pat on the hand or the back. And Candy, for you, the same question?
Writing has taught me patience. It has taught me how to slow down in life and to really smell the roses. And to me, that was the most significant of anything, you know, because I would just race right through it. Didn't even know what I was doing, you know. And luckily, I learned patience. I learned how to slow down and learned how to write better.
So you could stay in that moment and understand you were in that moment while it was happening. That's wonderful. That's what I aspire to. And I find that's, for me, when I do feel like I'm at my most creative and really saying what I want to say, really writing what I most want to read, which I think is what we all want to say to ourselves.
Exactly.
This is what I wanted to say. Appreciate it. Candy, thank you so much. Ladies, I want to wish you all the most success in your work. Keep at it. Keep our literature alive and keep people engaged in our work. That's all we can ask for, right?
Exactly. Yes. Thank you so much.
It's my absolute
pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks for popping on.
Well, it was a pleasure again. Thank you. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, RJ. Oh, that was quite a surprise. I have not spoken to him in over a year, and we used to almost every single author show I'd be on, he'd pop on. So yeah, he's a wonderful person. I think this is
he's really sweet. He seems really sweet.
He is. He's very sweet. Dakota?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, you made it.
I did. I am so sorry. I'm late.
That's okay.
I am so sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Well, then you are just in time for the next question. Do you ever experience writer's block?
All the time. Oh, my goodness. All the time. It's worse when my kids are home. Because I would be in the middle of writing a paragraph or something because it's in my head, and then all of a sudden I have to look at them or get onto them about something, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And I'm like, really?
Oh.
I just had it. It was perfect.
Oh, how frustrating. You know what? I have learned how to write around them. I've learned how to deal with the chaos.
Well, the chaos isn't the thing. It's you know, when they argue and fight and everything, that's when you kind of have to, you know. And they're 5 and 7, so they're fighting and arguing all the time.
Oh, yes. I remember those days. I do know for you.
It gets better. It gets better. I have a 10 and 12, and so the arguing is like slowed down a lot. It totally gets better.
Well, I'm waiting for that point in my life. So.
I have a 18 and almost 16, and the fighting is non-existent. No more fighting.
Oh, man.
Well, probably because my son has a car, so
oh my
she
God.
Wants to ride. She shuts her hole.
Shut
well,
up.
I am waiting
like,
for that point.
Well, that's not fair because see, mine are grown, and that isn't even the problem. I mean, like my oldest would be 30 and my youngest would be 21 this year. So, and the arguments continued between my daughter and my youngest son continued well into their teenage years because they're only 2 years apart in age-wise.
Yeah.
But my daughter
that sounds like my brother and I.
Well, and my daughter's really an argumentative type person. I mean, she just loves to argue for argument's sake, and
that's my son.
You know, it's kind of like, and she's bossy. She's bossy, and I think that was the big issue with my kids. But I didn't start writing until they were already. Let's see. I started writing, well, my first story was published in 2008, so they were at that teenage years when I started my children's series.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
But yes,
I wish I could
Jennifer
write parent series.
You what now?
Jennifer, do you experience writer's block?
I do. It's funny you mentioned the shower earlier because I find that writer's block is easily solved by doing things that are robotic for us. And when I say that, it's something where you don't have to think. And I don't know if you, like, I get my best scenes when I'm doing dishes because I'm not thinking. I'm washing dishes. I'm not thinking at all.
Yeah.
So doing dishes where you're taking a walk and you're not thinking. The shower, you're totally not thinking in there. You're just in there enjoying the hot water. So
see, most of mine comes in my dreams. I have a weird dream, and then all of a sudden I just write it down, and it ends up being like this whole storyline.
Yeah.
So my dreams are too wacky to even write a story. I would never be able to write a story. Mine are so off the wall. I'm like, what the hell was I watching before I went to bed? So,
what did
See, I don't even have to worry about that. I don't have any TV to watch.
They're so weird. My dreams are too weird.
No, but it's usually like with me, if I have a dream and I think that it would make a good story, like I'll try to write down bits and pieces of it. But
okay.
It's like usually after something I've read that's really on the dark side, or because I read like about a month or so ago, I read 31 Bond Street, which is about a dentist. It's like in the 1850s, I think. So it's like pre-Civil War. No, yeah. It's before the Civil War started. And then, you know, so it's set in New York, and he was murdered in his house, which was also where he practiced his dentistry. And they accused the woman who was living there with her two daughters as she was what they called the house mistress. And so they had accused her. The coroner had tried to make a case of accusing her. And I had some weird dreams about that. And then I got this really crazy idea. I was going to write a story of like a femme fatale who had all these different murders, like collecting all the different stories of unsolved mysteries and stuff from that time period. I started it, but I haven't done anything. It's like, I don't know if that was such a good idea or not.
I get wacky ideas. Go ahead.
I get a lot of my ideas. Like sometimes I'll just hear like one line in a song lyric, and I'll just build a whole scene
mm-hmm.
around that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I would never do my dreams. They're just too weird. But yeah, song lyrics or maybe like song lyrics.
Well, I never said
like,
I didn't have weird dreams. I just said, you know, some of them I make it into a storyline.
Mine are just weird.
The first book that I wrote, The Power of Three, that was pretty much just a dream that I had that I just turned into a whole storyline.
Wow.
It's weird because, you know, it's about, you know, a serial killer, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so. But
no one said their dreams were perfect.
And Candy, did you answer the question about Writer's Block?
Oh, gosh. I have had my mind race because it does race, you know, all over the place. Well, because not only do I write, but I also do psychic work. So my mind goes in a billion different ways. So I've had ideas and I sit down and all of a sudden I'm like, crap. It's like it went in one ear and right out the other and was gone. And I've had to stop. One time I had writer's block so bad I didn't write for like 6 months. I just couldn't. I couldn't even write one word, and I mean, if I did, it wouldn't have made any sense anyway. So it was just kind of one of those things. But here's a good question for you guys: is there any particular author that has influenced you? Your writing?
Oh man, I have numerous
authors. I'm sorry. That's what I said. That's a loaded question because. To narrow it down to one, it's really hard. And
well, I would feel like I'm being judgmental on the other authors that I love.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to leave them out or anything.
Name the ones that have influenced you then.
Well, when I first started reading, like my binge reading kind of thing, I was reading a lot of Angela Knight and Laura Lee.
I met Angela Knight in person. Thank you. She actually spoke at our Sisters in Crime group as our guest speaker 1 month, but she actually was talking. Her topic was not on erotica, I know that, but her topic was on the fight scenes, on making realistic fight scenes.
Right.
And so that was what her topic was. So.
Well, I think those two and maybe a couple others, you know, are like what actually got me into it. Because I'm over here sitting here reading them going, you know, they're getting paid for me just buying this book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should just, you know, see what I can do. And at first it started out as like a hobby. And then one of my girlfriends, she read some of the stories that I wrote, and she's like, "No, girl, you need to do something with this." Like, okay, what am I supposed to do? So.
You can watch that tomorrow.
That's pretty much, you know, those two authors are. I've got almost all of their series, books, and there's a whole bunch more. I mean, you should see my paperback library. I mean, it's humongous. Just from the famous authors that I enjoy reading from.
Oh, wow. How about you, Elizabeth? Do you have any favorites out there that have influenced
when
you?
When I started, really, not, I don't have any favorites that have really inspired me. My friends are more, my writer friends are the ones that kind of inspire me. But I started out, like, years ago, V.C. Andrews, and I really enjoyed her writing until when my oldest son was born. And I'm reading one of her books, and the nurse was like, "You know, she's dead." And I went, "No, she's not. I'm reading her book." And she's like, "You do know she's been dead and for a while, and all her books are now ghostwritten." And I started noticing a difference in the writing style. And I was like, well, it blows, you know, it's like, now V.C. Andrews is out the window, but Jonathan Kellerman is a really good author that I enjoy reading. I've just been reading a lot of different things lately, so I don't really have any inspirational authors.
Jennifer, do you have any?
I started out writing poetry at like a really young age. And what inspired that was a book. I don't know if you guys remember it. It was called Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Brings back memories.
It was, yeah, it was kind of quirky, kind of silly. And it was the first time because, you know, when you're going to school, there's so many rules on writing. And it became like a gel for me. I was like, God, I'm good at doing this, but I don't want the rules. And so this book came out, and it was so off the wall and silly and it made me feel like, okay, you can write and still have fun. You can write and do what you want. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to make sense. And that book really inspired me to keep writing the poetry. But as far as reading was concerned, I really got stuck with books. You know when you pick up a book and you just can't get into it? I couldn't read anything for like a long time. And I heard all the hype on Twilight, so I picked up the books, and that was the first series that I literally just, like, dove into, and I read it, and I was like, I can write a book like this, you know, but let me write one about stuff that, you know, because there was stuff that I liked about it, and there was stuff that I didn't like, so I was, well, let me write my own series, but things that I would like, you know, things that I think would have made that book better, let me do that, and so that, I mean, that was the series that inspired me to actually become a writer, besides of, you know, the poetry that I did prior. Currently, I always say this, I always tell her to her face too, you know. There's a writer, Nadege Richards, and she's so young. And so when I first started out, she had already had, like, I don't know how many books out, you know, and she was 17 at the time. And she, you know, she was online, like, working her ass off. And I was like, okay, and I'm like, she's working hard, and she's 17. She already has all these. So when there was moments of doubt in my time, when I was looking at my work, and like one of you had said, you got like a bad critique. Sometimes we get those critiques, and it just really makes us feel horrible. Like we don't want to write anymore sometimes, even though we know it's just someone's opinion, and it shouldn't matter. But you know, she was doing so much, and when I was kind of questioning if I was good or not or if I should still continue, I just looked at her and go, like, you know, she's still doing it, and she's a teenager. So,
yeah.
Those three writers right there between, you know, my youth and when I first started and after, those three would be my top ones.
Wow. My favorite, so the writer that influenced me the most was Walter Farley of the Black Stallion series.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really got into all those books. I read so many of them. So a lot of people are like, you know, like, that's it. Like, the children's, and I'm like, yeah, that's really what I love the most. You know, I was in the horses, and my mom was in the horses, and unfortunately she passed away when I was 12, so the horses kind of went bye-bye, but boy, I was ready to ride the black stallion on the beach, you know? I was so there
fun.
For that. Now, what advice would all of you give to aspiring writers?
Who wants to go first?
No.
Everyone's off quiet.
You were the last one.
Okay. Since I'm probably the newest one on here, I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I've only done one book so far, and I bet you guys have already done more than that. So, do what makes you happy, and if that's what makes you happy, then just do it to your heart's content. You know, I mean, just don't let anyone bring it to where it's not anything important to you.
Yeah,
I mean, just
agree.
That's a good statement.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm currently going through that right now anyway. So yeah. some people are supportive no matter what the material is that I write, and some people aren't because of the material that I write. So, you know, you kind of got to pick your battles with whoever you want. But I mean, honestly, if it's what you want to do, then by all means, do it and enjoy it.
Exactly. I have to agree with that.
Definitely. That's a good one. How about you, Elizabeth?
My thing is just keep doing, you know, do it every day, which I don't do, but, you know, if it's something that you want to read, write it. I mean, that's all there is to it, is you're gonna at least have readers that like that type of, you know, writing that you do. They're all there. So just write every day.
Jennifer?
Well, I'm a big fan of breaking the rules when it comes to writing. I just am. I would tell inspiring writers or those that are just starting out is, you know, you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to go by the rules all the time. When I first started out, everyone was like, oh, no, you're supposed to write like this. You're supposed to say things like this. You're supposed to go against the grain sometimes, you know, because if we're all doing the same way, how do you stand out? How do you stand apart from the other millions of authors? You don't. So, you know, find a little flick like that, you know, whatever makes you different. Roll with that. Run with it. And it doesn't have to be a certain way. It doesn't have to be written like everyone else's work.
Yeah. I totally agree. Totally agree. So what is everybody working on right now? Like what genre, title, if you can give it to us, I would love to know.
I'm working on the second in my Kelly Watson series, which is Ties of Time. The third one in the series is Leanne's Leaving. And I'm also working on Imogene, Innocence Lost, which is my suspense thriller story.
Awesome. Sounds like you're busy.
Trying to be.
Yeah, definitely. Jennifer, how about you?
I'm working on The Silver Lining. That's the dramatic romance. The one that's from the male point of view. I'm almost done with it. If I can stop myself from editing, because I keep going back and I'm like, no, let's just, if I can stop being so, God, there's something wrong with me. Like, I just have to keep going. Like, I have some, like, editing OCD or something. It's so bad. I literally stared at one paragraph for 30 minutes the other day. It was bad. I was like, I'm just going to walk away for a minute. Just step away.
Yeah. Sometimes you do. I had a book like that. I just could not. Every time I'd write a chapter, I'd go back and edit. Finally, I drove myself absolutely bananas and stopped doing that. Because I wasn't moving on. I kept going back and back, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm never going to finish it.
Yeah, sometimes you just have, you literally have to just keep writing and be like, oh, I'm going to come back to you maybe next week. Because you're just driving
yeah.
me crazy.
Yeah, it's like, I promise, just stop. How about you, Elizabeth?
I already answered. I did answer.
Dakota hasn't
oh,
answered
right,
yet.
Right. Oh, Dakota.
I actually have one book. It's called Sucker Punch, and I just got the book cover for it, and it's gorgeous. It should be coming out within the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think. And then I've got, and all the girls that I work with, they laugh at me because on a regular basis, I've got like 13 books running. Like, I've got ADD when it comes to writing, so I jump from one book to another.
Mm.
So.
Like me.
I've got one I'm currently co-writing or co-authoring with. I'm not going to say who I'm writing it with because it's supposed to be a surprise. But that one should be coming out within the next couple of, well, maybe about a month or so. So I've got, I've pretty much been just bouncing back and forth. So the one that's coming out soon, I was kind of pestered to write the rest of it because I left some of the girls hanging because I only gave them part of it. So I kind of, you know, went ahead and finished it and let them be all happy for it. So
wonderful. I have to say one thing. Jennifer, she's been PAing for me for the last couple books. Absolutely phenomenal. If you ladies are looking for someone with her talents, definitely find her on Facebook. She is awesome. I had to, Jennifer. I just... she has been just a godsend, in my opinion, because I've used so many different blogs, you know, blog things and this and that, and they didn't work, and felt like I was just, you know, wasting my time and my money. And with Jennifer, wow. I mean, my books are selling, and they're doing well, and getting me out there, and I just, so she will have all my books from now on when they release and all that.
Yeah.
I had to say that. But yeah, we'll start with you, Jennifer. Where can people find you online? Because we only have like 2 minutes left.
I'm a social media freak, so I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google, I'm everywhere. But you can just, the easiest is just go to my website. It's Jennifer Raygoza. .webs.com. So that's the easiest place to find me, but just put in my name. I'll pull me up on any social media site.
Okay. Dakota, where can folks find you?
I am on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, but it's not under my author name. So, but I still post on there for, you know, kind of like my own kind of advertisement. But mainly on Facebook, and then I will, you know, if they want other sites, then I can go ahead and give them those.
Okay. So, yeah, people can definitely find you on Facebook. Elizabeth,
right.
Where can folks find you?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I have two blogs. One is actually for my geography series, and then one is just Elizabeth Stories. .blogspot.com and then website eeldering.weebly.com and that's where I am.
Thank you, ladies, so much for being on. I would love to have each of you back on. In the future, I'll just have one author on at a time. It's definitely easier because I can really get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, your authoring and your words and So we will definitely keep in touch so that later on this year or next year I'll have you back on and we can talk about other books that you're doing. Do you have any parting words for the listeners?
I don't have anything. Sorry.
not really, other than have a wonderful night. Keep on reading.
Definitely. Everybody needs to keep on reading and definitely read some books by these fabulous authors. And I want each of you to have a wonderful night and take care, and we will definitely be in touch.
Well, thank you. You
have
a wonderful night.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.